SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 20th of January 2025. The Australian share market rose today as Donald Trump prepares for his inauguration overnight. We'll have the details with George Barbouris from K2 Asset Management, including the risks and opportunities of this new presidency. But first, to Star Entertainment, the casino operator, and just how close to collapse is it? In a statement to the ASX today, it has warned that there remains material uncertainty as to the group's ability to continue as a going concern. It's reported a 15% slide in quarter revenue to just under $300 million and continues to burn through cash. For more, I spoke with Angus Hewitt, an equities analyst at Morningstar. Angus, so Star Entertainment says there remains material uncertainty as to the group's ability to continue. How close to a collapse do you think it is?
Yeah, that's the key word here. It's uncertainty. It is really uncertain. There is a chance that Star falls into administration, but there is also a path out of this. So if you look at the numbers, Star burned through a bit more than $100 million in the last quarter and have less than $80 million in available cash. The casino obviously can't continue at this rate. Something's got to give, and we think it's going to need a lifeline. We do expect a medium-term recovery in operating conditions, but we think it's unlikely Star is going to be able to trade itself out of this predicament and needs a more immediate solution.
Is it a case where it's like a bank where it's just too big to fail? Because this would be serious, not just for the company, but there are thousands of employees. Obviously, you've got implications for shareholders and then implications too for the broader economy, right?
We don't think it's too big to fail. Shareholders obviously face the risk of getting wiped out if it does go into administration, possibly significantly diluted, depending on how any potential capital raise is structured. But in the event of voluntary administration, the properties would probably stay open, at least in the near term. Beyond that would remain to be seen. And effectively, that would be up to the new owners. While casinos in Australia will probably never be the lucrative businesses they once were, We still think operating conditions should improve and from where they currently are.
How did Star Entertainment get to this position?
Yeah, so, I mean, operationally, conditions are weak. Weak consumer sentiment, mandatory carded play, which pubs and clubs don't have to abide by, that's really weighing on the revenue line. And then on the cost line, Star still has to regain its licenses in New South Wales and Queensland. And with that comes sharply higher compliance, legal, transformation costs, which is really weighing on profitability.
And finally, you mentioned there the need for some potential lifelines, right? How do you see that playing out? How can it be saved?
Yeah, so like I said, we do expect a recovery in operating conditions, but we don't think that's going to be quick enough for really Star needs something now. Star has another $100 million facility, a debt facility, but it has to fulfill a number of conditions to be able to access it. And the big one is they have to raise another $150 million, probably in equity. A current shareholder is going to want to participate. They've been burnt twice. Star raised $1.5 billion in 2023, first at $1.20, then at 60 cents. So maybe shareholders, I'm not sure how willing shareholders are going to be to chip in again. So beyond that, does it come down to private equity? Does it come down to asset sales? Star's assets undoubtedly have value. The question will just be whether that value can be realised in time.
That is Angus Hewitt there, equities analyst at Morningstar.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Good day to start the working week on the Australian share market with the ASX 200 up 0.5% to 8,347, just as the new US President Donald Trump, president-elect there, preparing for his inauguration later tonight. So what does a new presidency mean for global markets and for Australian investors? For all that and more, I spoke with George Baburis, the head of research at K2 Asset Management. George, firstly, how does the market feel about a second Trump presidency?
Yeah, the second Trump presidency has been, the theme has been confidence. Confidence because of the policies are very beneficial to growth and earnings. And they've been calling that the Trump trade going into the election and post the election. There's themes that come with it, high interest rate environment, etc. But generally, the higher confidence and the policies leading to faster growth in North America relative to other parts of the world and earnings means it's been a positive thematic so far.
Let's break some of that down, though. How do you think Trump 2.0 will be different to Trump 1.0 and the implications for markets? I guess one of the key things is uncertainty, because we've already seen in the first time around, I guess some of that uncertainty has been a little bit abated.
Exactly. Many moving parts, but let's just capture it very quickly. Trump 2.0 is quite unique because it's not back to back. So it's effectively a Trump footprint, 4 years in as Trump 1.0, 4 years as the opposition, and 4 years. So it's a 12-year footprint. Also, as he's continuing the trade and tariff barriers against China that he started in Trump 1.0, the similarity they have with the Democrats and the Biden administration is the Biden administration put pressure on the tariffs and continued that theme, which will be continued by Trump. So Trump 2.0 has a stronger US economy with the tariffs going up as an extension of the Biden policies, while China today is weaker than it's ever been economically for a good 20 to 25 years. So what's happening in China from the domestic point of view, they're dealing with the worst property construction collapse the world's ever seen. However, their export sector is the best in the world, the most efficient in the world, and it's a key part of the transition to 2030, 2040, 2050 with the energy transition, the export sector. But the tariffs are going to be dialed up. So the export sector is good for China, but they've got a lot of issues domestically. And so Trump 2.0 is dealing with a weaker China with those stronger policies that North America is going to be seeing.
Do you think a lot of his policies are inflationary when we talk about the potential for tariffs and when we talk about immigration policy, if there are fewer workers in the country, for example?
Exactly. You've highlighted two things from an economic viewpoint that add to inflation or footprint. So you remove workers, illegal or legal, that puts higher wages, that is inflationary. And tariffs, all things being equal, it's a relative game, can be inflationary. On the counter, though, the deregulation of corporate America is deflationary, leading to the earnings expansion, which is what people are buying, those future earnings. That's the thing to think about. And the ongoing energy independence narrative is also less inflationary as well. But basically, I'll finalize this comment with an economist term. There's variable and lag delays to all policy, and it's about maneuvering that. But the robust economic momentum in North America and the US is leading to faster growth of earnings, which should tolerate some of that headwind of inflation. And that's what people are buying, those that expanding earnings environment.
Now, what about for you as an investor, as a market player? Does Trump being in power change the way you invest?
We had an overweight to US equities. We had an overweight to US dollar earnings and US credit markets going into this. We think the problems around the world will be Core Europe is their cheaper valuations from an equity point of view. We believe they're dealing with issues that are very sluggish for their economic activity and trade, and they'll continue to suffer going into the course of 2025. So North America seems to be a good place to be. Japan and Japanese earnings seem to be a good place, and also Southeast Asia.
That is George Baburis there from K2 Asset Management. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, to give it a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and to subscribe to get the latest episode sent to you.